This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. We're going to get right into the message, part three of In Search of the Missing Birthright. Now, remember, last night we closed down in the book of Luke, chapter 2, and Matthew, chapter 2, was an interesting place to begin. I'm going to go back to the book of Micah. And I want to read to you, if you will, the prophetic scripture. I didn't have time to read it to you, but I want to read it to you so that you will know that the place that the prophet prophesied about, the location, geographical location, and the place that the scribes said were two different things. And we're going to prove that by looking at the difference in the geographic locations of where they were talking about. Now, the Bible said to prove all things. But first of all, before we can prove, we must be able to search. Now, you know what the old eunuch said when he was in search of the scripture that would save his soul? He said, "How can I except some man guide me?" So we all need help over this great spiritual guff. And there's a lot of mystery that is encoded into scripture. We told you that the Bible says to search the scriptures for wherein you think you have eternal life. Now in Micah 5 and 2, we're going to look at a scripture here in John chapter 7 in verse 40. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard the saying, said of a truth, this is the prophet. Now they're talking about Christ, the anointed one. Others said, now this is what the others said. See, it became a raging controversy 2,000 years ago. Well, nobody wants to make a controversy out of it anymore. It seems like that all of the people have accepted the fact that Christ was a Jew and that indeed he was born in Judea of Bethlehem. Well, by accepting those things that seem right, other than investigating the things that are right, means that somebody has laid down on the job, and the Bible said to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. And so the Bible is the key, but the search is up to you. You must have the spiritual insight, the spiritual vision, if you will. You've got to defy, well, tradition. You know, Christ spoke of those who would worship in traditional modes. Full well, they reject the commandments to keep their own tradition. Well, full well, people have believed a lie because they want to keep the tradition of the Jews. Why is the Jews so popular all of a sudden? Why have they became, quote-unquote, the masters or master builders or master directors to tell us that the Messiah was Jewish when they want him to even accept that he came? And he came at it both ways. Either Christ came 2,000 years ago and he was a Jew, or he was a Galilean, or in this case an Israelite, and there is a difference we're going to prove to you, or he was neither. So we got to prove whether he was a Jew, whether he was a Galilean, or whether he was a Gentile. Maybe, let's say, perhaps he's a Gentile. Could it have been that he was a Gentile? Well, the Bible said he came through a particular, special, chosen bloodline. That's what we're going to get into tonight. and it's going to take about 2 hours to develop our message of the bloodline. Now, I told you that as it was supposed that Joseph, out of the bloodline of David, the house of David. Now, if David claimed the kinship through Joseph, who had no blood affiliation with Christ, how can Christ come back and say that he's the root and the offspring of David? And be truthful. Either we're talking about the bloodline coming through the woman, because we are done assured that it's for certain that the bloodline did not come through the man, as was supposed it says. So Joseph was not the father of our Messiah. Well, let's say that he was from the bloodline, as it says here in the book of Luke, that we read last night. Yes, he is or was a son or a descendant of the bloodline of David. Now, we got to establish the bloodline of David. 99% of your Christians today, when interviewed, will say, yes, David was a Jew. 99% of the people, when they're interviewed today and asked this question, will say, I'm talking about the typical Christian, will say that Christ was a Jew. 99% of the people that are interviewed will respond in this manner when asked this question. Was Abraham a Jew? Yes, Abraham was a Jew. Jacob was a Jew. And Isaac was a Jew. And so on and so forth. So, was Abraham a Jew? No, he wasn't. Was Isaac a Jew? No, he wasn't. Was Jacob a Jew? No, he wasn't. Neither of our progenitors from the birth bloodline that have descriptive titles distinctively placed in the bloodline of Christ. You see, Christ descended from Abraham. That is a fact. Christ descended from Isaac. That is a fact. Christ descended from Jacob. That is a fact. But it is not a fact. It is a misconceived conception of an ideal that Christ was a Jew. That is wrong. That is an error. You say, well, why does everybody preach it? Because everybody has been convinced through some of the terminologies of the scriptures, in this case here in Matthew chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, the scribes alluded that he came from the tribe or was going to be born in the city of Bethlehem, Judea. Now, let's just say, for instance, that he was, and give him the benefit of the doubt here, which he wasn't, but let's say that he was. What would that have to prove to his bloodline? Would that have proved, just because he was born in Bethlehem, Judea, that he'd have been a Jew, or of the bloodline, the affiliation from the house of Judah? No. He could have been from the tribe of Issachar. He could have been from the tribe of Dan. He could have been from the tribe of Asher, Naphtali. He could have been from the tribe of Benjamin. Or he could have been from the tribe of Joseph. Well, which tribe that I just mentioned here has the authentic, genuine, God-given birthright? Well, it just turns out that it's out of the house of Joseph. Joseph, the 11th son, as I indicated, had the birthright. Well, nobody wants to ascribe or to connect the birthright to the Messiah, and yet the Bible does. Well, you say, well, where does it do that at? Others said, this is the Christ, verse 41, but some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Now, if you go back to the original Greek, that is worded in the King James Bible as a question. It's not a question in the original Greek. It's a statement. Christ shall come out of Galilee. So there was a large segment of people that believed that the Christ would come from Galilee and not out of Judea. Well, here is somebody that's trying to change the authentic prophecies, utterance, if you will, the prophetic word that Christ would be a Judean rather than a Galilean. Or the argument would be that he would be a Galilean or a Judean as opposed to being a Galilean. Well, here's the debate. The first four verses, beginning at verse 40 and going through 44 in the 7th chapter of the book of John, it indicates that there was a controversy. So we're renewing the controversy that was going on 2,000 years ago. Somebody shut this controversy down. It becomes generally accepted over the years by persuasion of unholy men that came in and changed the order of the text of the New Testament. Remember, Christ warned us and said, beware of the scribes. So we've got our work cut out for us, and you've got your homework to do when you search the scriptures or go into the coded text and search out in the Strong's Concordance, which are or the Young's or whatever one that you want to use, but make sure you understand both the Greek and the Hebrew, as well as the Latin words, and then look at the English. You'll find in lots of instances where they have completely reversed the meaning of a verse of scripture because of misappropriations or misinterpretations or mistranslation of the words from one language to another. So that's where we got a problem. Now going back to Micah chapter 5 verse 2 and Genesis 49 and verse 24, we'll see the difference between the contrast of what the prophets are trying to get us to see, and no wonder all of the prophets, excluding none, all of the prophets with the exception of the scribes. The scribes were not prophets. The scribes were those that had vowed to copy the worn-out text of the scrolls and replace it just exactly like the original copy that they had copied from. But ladies and gentlemen, if it was to profit me to change a particular text for a different bloodline, and then I could change the bloodline, very subtle. You see, Satan has come in as crafty. Remember, Paul said that unholy men, grievous wolves, will enter in after my departure and would deceive, if possible, the very elect. Well, he was talking about the translators, as I call them. Now, who are they? The scribes who ascribed to the doctrine that the Messiah would be Jewish rather than Israelite. Is there a difference? Yes, there is. There's two different houses. There is a house of Judah, 1/13 of the equation, as opposed to the other 12 tribes. You see, we've got 13 tribes here to equally distribute the blood covenant relationship to the family. Now, they're all family related, and they're all of the same blood, the blood of Jacob. But they had different, if you will, they had different mothers, some of these tribes. And so I've done explain to you in Genesis chapter 46. How that the birthright was to be denied the first four sons of Leah because of varying reasons. The reason, the main reason, that the blood birthright inheritance was denied Judah for his firstborn son. He was in line for it. That's well and good because Reuben defied his, Simeon defied his, Levi had no inheritance. And Judah defied his by marrying a Canaanite woman and bringing a Canaanite son into the family of Israel. And there this Canaanite son began to have offspring. They're called the Shelites in the Bible. And these are where the family of the scribes come, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. And what are we saying all this is to straighten your mind out or try to give you some insight into correct teaching and rendering of the Bible. Micah 5 and 2 is misquoted in Matthew chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to repeat that. Micah 5 and 2 is deliberately, we believe, deliberately misquoted by the lying scribes. Remember, God Almighty himself spoke about the pen of the lying scribes. Lying scribes using a pen? Yeah. What? They could alter the text. Beware of them. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you took it that the Bible has been correctly translated, and remember, names are transliterated, not translated, so names should remain the same, irregardless of the language. Gorbachev in America is Gorbachev in Russia. Don't change. Shumun II in China is Shumun II in America. His name is sound for sound carried over into the various languages that is speaking his name, and names are never changed. You can listen, and you can hear the translators as they translate from one language, gifted to know the other language, and when it comes to names, it's the most easily translated word in the languages because it don't change. For instance, I said Gorbachev, or let's say Reagan goes to China. What's his name in China? Reagan. I mean, you know, the names are carried over. So why then did the master's name, along with several other words, disappear from the Bible? Well, it was because that crafty men, the greatest ones, as Paul would allude to them, would come in and change the text. And by doing so, would plunge the world into a semi way rather than a right way. So you must struggle to get back on your feet and find the truth. You shall know the truth. Do you know the truth? Do you know that Christ was a Jew? Would you bet your life on it? That's basically what you're doing when you believe that Christ was a Jew. You're betting your life. They're gambling with your soul. So you don't have to take these things lightly, and you shouldn't. The Bible said, beware lest any man deceive you. Well, you know, it's only when truth comes that people scrutinize. And people never scrutinize a lie. They just take it and swallow it and go on. And the Bible said they believe a lie and be damned. It's hard to believe the truth because it's so hard to swallow. So therefore you resist it. And that's what the scripture says. We always resist the truth. Why? Because by nature, truth is against the grain of our nature. Well, you know, buddy, now, you know them Jews, glory to God. They're God's chosen people. Glory to God. I heard my pastor say so. That didn't make it so, just because your pastor said so. The Jews are only 1/13 of the equation, like I said, and they're no more holier than the next tribe. And the next tribe, and the next tribe, and the next tribe, and the next tribe, and the next tribe. It is all in the family of the bloodline of Jacob. But if that bloodline of Jacob is not pure, if it has been miscegenated, if it's been multiculturated, as I call it, if it has mixed in fornication and adultery, adulterating the blood is a cardinal sin in the Bible. And we're going to read some instances where men lost their lives by doing so. We're going to read where you can lose your soul if you are partakers, if you compromise, if you are of your bloodline and it's pure, be you thankful and be you holy. Because that is what the whole Bible, the warfare of the children of darkness and the children of light. You see, the children of darkness always wanted to come and rule over the children of light. Beware of the scribes, for they love the chief seats. Beware of the scribes, for they love the chief seats. Well, you know why they wanted the chief seats? So that they could be in charge of telling you what the Bible says. Remember, I told you that the New Testament Bible was chained, kept in darkness, hidden from the general populace. Nobody ever seen a New Testament until around the year at the latest. Would have been in the late 1300s or 1400s when any population to or any count of people, I'm talking about authorities, it would have to be preachers even then to see it, or priests. So they just wasn't that plentiful. We've only become plentiful. Now, this is the shame of the Dark Ages. The New Testament has only become plentiful in the last 300 years or so. We've only come full speed or full circle where that we could scrutinize the languages through the access of other documents to compare. Well, ladies and gentlemen, your soul is on the line and your soul is facing eternity. Remember one sly, crafty word. You say, well, words just don't really all that matter, Pastor Buddy. Well, let's look at Genesis chapter 3 when Satan said, the day that you eat of it, you shall surely not die. Just added one word to the text that Yahweh put in there. And by one word, he brought down the soul of man to cause it to have to be redeemed by the blood of a Messiah, a Savior. And that's exactly what Satan wanted to do. He wanted to sow his seed into the family of God that he could hide his tares in the wheat. And it's all a genetic seed transfers of adulteration or fornication process. The mixing of the blood of the DNA that Satan and his seed could inherit with the children of righteousness. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it ain't going to happen here. Christ, when he was put on the witness stand, never confessed that he was a Jew. Quite the contrary. The Bible calls him a Galilean. You say, oh, that's because he hung out up in Galilee. Well, why wouldn't he walk in Judea? Well, it's very plain. Read verse 1 of John chapter 7. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee. After what things? After they tried to kill him. After they tried to stone him to death. After they put a warrant out for his arrest. Now, are these people trying to kill their own blood? Remember, when they did get their wish, and it was granted, Pilate made a statement. He said, I'm free from his blood. They said, let his blood be upon us. Who? The house of Judah. Well, who was the house of Judah? There was only one serpent that was in the apostolic chosen. All 11 were Benjamites, with the exception of Judas. That's a Hellenization word of Judah. And he was a Jew. Was he a full-blooded Jew? No, he wasn't. Was he mixed? Yes, he was. Who was he mixed with? Cain. That's the reason that he was a snake. He was a devil from the very beginning. Just like Christ told him in 8:44 John, your father is the devil. You say, oh, he's talking about a spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, these spirits were able to bring flesh and blood creatures into the earth plane and inhabit their bodies. Satan has manifested himself into the earth in flesh and blood. Just like the Messiah, the incarnation of God, God himself, Yahweh, the chosen one, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, was incarnated into a flesh body and walked into this earth and claimed to have sons. Remember what he said about David? I am the offspring of David. Now, how about that? Well, let's go a little bit further. That ain't all he said. Here's the amazing thing that he said. I am the root of David. Now, the root means the progenitor. Somebody that authorized the bloodline of David prior to David ever coming into the earth. He was the root of David. Well, that's interesting because we're going to go. Because he would not walk in jewelry. Amen. You like that word? Because the Jews sought to kill him. Well, the Galileans didn't seek to kill him. He walked up there. What was it that the Jews had against him that the Galileans didn't have against him? The fact that he was a Galilean. They hated the Galileans. They thought they were superior to the Galileans. You know who the Galileans were? The northern ten tribes of Israel. That's why they hated them. They thought they were superior. They loved the chief seats and had the Sanhedrin court sewed up. The only way that you say, well, I know that Paul was a Jew, glory to God. He said he was. Well, let's find out the bloodline of Paul. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5. Now, think it and read it. Don't think about it. Write it down. Take notes. Follow me here. I'm on a fast horse and getting a lot of scripture because I've got a short time and many scriptures to bring on the subject. So I got to close it out here tomorrow night. So I got to get on this and ride a fast horse. So, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 5, you read it for yourself now. I am of the house of Benjamin. Now, Benjamin was from the house of Rachel. And Rachel was the mother of the 10 tribes that fared well in Galilee. Leah was the mother of Judah, who fared well in southern Judea, and the two nations were separated and divided and actually fought against one another and competed against one another repeatedly because of disobedience, both houses. You say, well, it was Israel that disobeyed. Well, Yahweh held them responsible because out of that came the chief ruler. You say, oh, don't say that, Pastor Buddy. The Jews sought to kill him because he was a Galilean. The argument is expounded and highlighted in John chapter 7. If you read the remainder of the verses, and if I get time tomorrow night, I'll go back and give you a little detail, but I'm running back to Genesis now, where we're going over here in the book of Genesis into the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis, and I'm going to go to the 24th verse and listen to what it says. It says, actually, in the 49th chapter here of the prophecy, it gives the prophecy first of Judah in the 10th verse. And it says that the scepter will depart from Judah. It has nothing to say about the birthright. Now, for Judah to be God's chosen, he would have to have the authorization of the authentic inscription, Word of God, inscribed in prophecy that God would bestow upon Judah the birthright. Now, I'll give anybody a $5,000 reward for anybody that can read in the Bible that Judah ever had the birthright. You say, well, buddy, it's quiet knowledge that Judah had the scepter and Joseph had the birthright. I want to ask you a question. Why was it divided? Didn't the two belong together? You see, when Judah was disposed of, or Judah and the other brothers disposed of Joseph, they got rid of him. And then when Joseph came back into the clan, he became the chief ruler. But he didn't rule over Israel with the spiritual inherited authority of a birthright son. He was not the birthright son. I'm going to repeat this. Judah, glory to God, according to the traditions of the world and many people that believe that they are, this is contrary. I'm going against 99%. And here's how popular I am among the Christian churches. I'm going against 99% of their belief that they believe that Judah is the birthright son and the scepter bearer and that they're God's chosen people. That's what you hear everywhere you go, but it's not so. Neither was he the possessor of the birthright or the scepter. He took the scepter by default. He ruled as Joseph was exiled from the family, the clan, and he became the predominant voice in the clan of Jacob. But Jacob gave a famous prophecy here where he said, in the relationship to the scriptures, he said in verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah. Well, that sounds like, that settles it right there, buddy. Then if it ain't going to depart, it's going to be with Judah. And so why are you saying he ain't got it? Well, there's a condition here. Jacob, a prophet, had foresaw that the scepter would remain not through birthright authentic given, but through ruling through basic deception, that he would power or bully his way, and that's what the Bible says, and I'm going to give you scripture to prove that just in a moment, but he would move in and take authority by ruling with brute force. Remember, he's the largest tribe in the 13 tribes. Judah is the largest tribe. And so when he spoke, a lot of people in the clan listened because he's pretty awesome in his physical appearance as well as his influence in the family. But listen to what it says. Judah, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver. Now, what does that mean? It means that the lawgivers, even in the time of Christ, it was the same. According to the infusion of the blood of Cain into the house of it. This is how the snake, the serpent, Satan, the devil, infused, crossed his blood. Jacob had pure blood. Judah had pure blood. So Satan wanted to defile that blood, so he sent this beautiful Canaanite woman down into the direction of Judah's path and crossed it, had her to cross Judah's path. Judah saw her there, a beautiful. And see, we don't base it on blood genetics. We base it on beauty. See, men have egos. They want pretty women by their side. They're just asking for trouble because the Bible says beauty is vain. Well, here is Judah fixing to get more trouble in his blood than he's ever imagined possible. He lays with the Canaanite, a strictly forbidden practice by the commandments of Yahweh. Never rescinded. You say, well, it's all right. That was back then, buddy, and God got mad. Yeah, he killed people for that. But now he's changed, and we're all one big old happy family. We're of all one blood, because that's what my preacher told me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the biggest lie that the serpent has convinced the people, that it's all right to cross the races, because the Bible said it's kind after kind, and keep it that way, and only the animal kingdom has kept these things sacred and holy, because they are like a red bird will not mix with a blue bird. Think about it. If they did, what kind of a species is it nature would provide us? The nature of one bird to another bird and to the locations and the way they balance into nature, everything is balanced. Just like a brother was telling me today that a pennywinkle in a stream will balance the act of nature and keep the streams clean, because they eat the moss and the stuff that filters through. They eat that. They're little pennywinkles. They're just barely, they're just little black things that lay on the tip of your finger. But these are minute particles that have a direct influence in the ecology that we have to keep our earth functioning in proper balance. Well, what about man? Man, given the opportunity and the lust and the conception of his sins, will beauty, riches, influence, power, political, religious, or anything else, will mix with anything to achieve those ends. And Satan, knowing the weakness of man and woman, he found it first in a woman, and then woman transferred it to man. And we all have these weaknesses because we want to go to beauty. Judah, the scepter will depart from you when the Messiah comes. That's what it says here in the 10th verse. It will depart. Now, if it had been Judas to keep, Judas in authenticity, if it had been placed upon him by the Word of God, remember, the Word of God is unchangeable, forever settled, nothing to be added to it, nothing taken away. If it had been his to keep, why would it have departed when the Messiah came? Because that's why the Jews killed him, because he came to claim the birthright, and it just so happened that he wasn't a Jew. He was an Israelite from the tribe of Joseph. You going to prove that? Yes, I am. Now, let's go to the 24th verse. While we're here in the chapter, we're riding a fast horse here, but let's run over to the 24th. And his bow. Now, we're talking from the 21st verse, or let's go to the 20th. Well, let's make the 21st verse. Joseph is a fruitful bough. Now, we're talking about the tribe of Joseph who had the birthright. We're going to read where he had the birthright. In the 48th chapter, we find that the birthright went to Ephraim, Joseph's son. So Ephraim replaced Joseph with Manasseh. The two sons became a double. In other words, it increased the 12 family of 12 to 13. That's where we get 13. Now, we cannot find where Joseph ever defiled his birthright, where he ever forfeited it. It was given to him by the direct command of God Almighty, and there that birthright raised to this day. Would you believe it or not, the Jews do not have the birthright. You can believe that, but you can believe a lie and be damned. And if you want to still believe that after I say it, it don't mean much to you, and these are just idle words to your ears, and you stop your ears up and you won't hear the truth and you won't search it out, then you're going to have gate trouble. Because if you won't practice truth here, you won't practice it over there. If you won't have it here, you wouldn't have it over there. If it don't mean nothing to you here, it wouldn't mean nothing to you over there. So you got to get in line and in step, and it's now. It's not later. It's now. It's like, well, Pastor Buddy, if I was to believe like you did, I'd be thrown out of church. Good. That'd be the best thing that ever happened to you, to be thrown out of church. and quit letting the church dictate to you, and you start dictating to the church. You see, it's just like the government dictating to us and telling us what to do, when it's the people that are the government should be telling the government what to do, but that don't work that way no more. It's because that we give the government power to rule over us rather than having the people rule over the government. And when that happens, we're coming down to a dictator. Well, that's what we're coming into the religious world. We're going to come to have to agree that the doctrine that that these Canaanite Jews have put upon the land will become the law of the land. Now, right now, working on a bill, to anybody that says anything anti-Semitic is going to be considered hate speech, and you can get a federal penitentiary crime out of it. Well, let me ask you a question. If the Jews are 1/13 of the equation, and you say something about Israel, and they claim it's against them, and they're not even Israel, or is it the other way around? Is all Israel Jews, or is all Jews Israel? Well, you got to decide. You can't have it both ways here. Just like I said, you got to search the scriptures before when you think you have eternal life, you ain't got none. So you better get to reading. But listen to this, verse 24. Let me jump to 24 now. We're talking about Joseph here and his prophecy. But his bow, the bow of Joseph, going to be very strong. Remember, he said that Moses prophesied in Exodus 38. He says that Joseph, Ephraim, will push his enemies to the end of the earth with the horns of a unicorn. So that's a symbol of Joseph. The Joseph is the symbol of the unicorn. A unicorn is a mystical a beast. It looks like a horse with a horn in his nose, but it depicts power. And as legend would have it, this was a more aggressive than a horse. But it existed, whether it does or not is beside the issue. But that is his symbol, is a unicorn. But his bow shall abide in strength, and his arms of the hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. In other words, he's going to be strong, whether you realize it or not, and nothing will overcome his birthright, authenticity. Nobody can steal it from him, although it's been stolen. It has to return in the last days because the prophets of Joseph, out of whom what house I am, they will come on the scene and restore the integrity and the authenticity of the birthright, and it is not to Judah. It is to the house of Joseph. The God of Jacob, from hence is the shepherd. Oh my God, could I ever preach a message on the shepherd scriptures? For instance, if I could jump from there over to Ezekiel chapter 34, where it's prophesied that God himself said, I am the good shepherd, I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, that's just exactly what the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, did in a flesh body. He was the good shepherd, and he laid down his life for the sheep, and he said, behold, it is I in that day. And when he come, he said, you Jews are Canaanite mixed. I don't know y'all. They said, well, you know us, we're Abraham's children. Well, Christ didn't deny it. He said, yes, I know you're Abraham's children, but you seek to kill me because I tell you the truth. Now, what truth do you tell them? John 8:44, your father's a devil. See, they had the infusion of enough of the Canaanite blood in the blood of Judah. The bloodline of Judah was infused with Cain's blood. And Cain was a murderer and a liar from the very beginning, and he has no access into the kingdom of heaven. So Satan, very crafty, has changed the world's opinion of who he really is by infusing his blood into the house of Judah and convincing the world that the Jews are God's chosen people so he can ride on their coattails into heaven. And if the Christians have their way, that's right exactly where they're going. But they ain't going to have their way. It is not your way that you have to conform to. It's Yahweh's way. If you don't conform to Yahweh's way, he said, your way is not my way, and my way is not your way. As heaven is higher than earth, so is my way higher than yours, and you've got to conform to Yahweh's way. And the only way you can get to Yahweh is through the truth. And this is the truth. He wouldn't walk in jewelry because the Jews sought to kill him because he was teaching against them being God's birthright people, just like I'm doing today. Say now, Pastor Buddy, glory to God. I just don't have that, boy. Them Jews are God's chosen people, honey. Glory to God. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Abed, they said, this is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians, wherefore the name of it was called Abramezrim, which is beyond Jordan. They saw those who were mourning for the body of Jacob, the father. And they called the Canaanites, they even recognized this mourning. Ladies and gentlemen, do you know that the children of darkness are wiser than the children of light? You better get the mourning for your birthright. You better get to pleading with God. You better check it out. You better pray. You better ask God if Pastor Buddy is giving you the truth. It may be strange to hear something you've never heard, but I'm telling you, you have an opportunity to hear the truth. And the Bible said they that will repent and change, and that's all you got to do, is to change and get into the magnanimous, magnificent name of God. It's that simple here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the bloodline of David. Remember Christ said that he was the offspring of David. Well, if he's the offspring of David, that must have been that he did come through the bloodline of David. Well, David's bloodline should or must have or would have only had to be represented through Mary. So Christ got his descriptive blood through. This is the legal intent here by the law of the, if you know the law of God's law, under the law to inherit, you must be bloodline affiliated. Well, did you know that the Jews will accept you if you can prove a Jewish mother? You don't have to prove a Jewish father. As long as you've got a Jewish mother, then you have access to birthright abilities in the land of Israel. They won't let nobody, they're racial. They will not let you become a member. And yet it's called a democracy. It ain't no democracy. It's a racial state. You can only become a member of the state of Israel by having a Jewish mother. Now, if you don't believe that, you go there and try to get in and try to claim citizenship. A lot of Americans have gone over there without any Jewish blood affiliation, or at least to claim to be. Those who are over there, 90% of them are not Jewish to the bloodline or house of Jacob. They're Khazaric through the Mongolian blood of the Ashkenazis. They're not really the blood of Jacob, and they'll tell you that. They're from the bands of Gomer on the other side, way back into the eastern races, which is called the Oriental tribe or the blood of Cain. Now, let me tell you something for sure, and this is forever settled. And the Bible said nothing can be added to this and nothing taken away. You can rest on this and be assured that Christ was out of the blood of Jacob. Now, if he was, then that must have meant that David was out of the blood of Jacob. Well, what blood was he, Pastor Buddy? Well, we're going to find out tomorrow night. I'm going to go into the final segment of this segment. This will be part four tomorrow night. I'm going to visit the blood. I'm going to show you the genealogy of David and prove to you that he didn't have no Jew in his blood. I'm going to prove to you that David's father, Jesse, didn't have any Jewish blood in his bloodline. We're going to prove to you that Ruth, the great-grandmother of David, and the progenitor that brought the bloodline of Jesse into being, had no Jewish blood. It was all out of the house of Joseph. Now, if that's true, then who's hoodwinked us into believing that David was a Jew? Well, the crafty people that have deceived the whole world. Remember, the Bible says that Satan will deceive the whole world, and Christianity is in that group. Oh, they claim because they've got a Savior by the name of Jesus that they're saved, and that he's a Jew, and that they owe allegiance to a Jewish Savior, when in all, he was not a Jewish Savior. He was a Galilean Savior out of the house of Joseph with claim to the birthright. Now, what does the birthright mean? Well, let's go now, and I'll give you something to study on, and I'll be back with you tomorrow night, because my time is almost coming down. I've got about 12 minutes, so let me give you this to think on and to chew on tomorrow night. I want you to do your homework. I'll be back in here tomorrow night with the same subject here. I wonder why Pastor Buddy doesn't get anybody to call in and refute him. I wonder why that nobody torments me with the truth. If I ain't preaching the truth, why don't somebody in this Christian world, and that's who I'm preaching to. I'm not preaching to the Buddhists or to the Muslims. I'm preaching to those who confess a one God, to that confess a Messiah, a Savior, a risen Savior. You see, ladies and gentlemen, you can confess all that and still be wrong. So it doesn't make you right if you confess. If you believe that, the Bible said, if you believe in one God, you believe well. So what? The devil believes and trembles. So if you believe in one God, you ain't got nothing up on the devil, because anybody knows that the devil believes there's one God, and the scripture says he actually trembles at the fact that there is one God. That means he ain't God. But if he can deceive you, if he can lie to you, if he can slip his children in and get them blessed right under your nose, and you call them Jews, and the Bible says, I know them that call themselves Jews and are not but are liars, then I'm telling you, you got a piece of work done for you. You better get to reading. You better get to praying. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 12. Now David was the son of an Ephraimite. Well, isn't that supposed to say Judite? If David was a Jew, then Jesse would have had to have been a Jew, and Jesse's father would have had to have been a Jew, and so on and so on and so on and so on. What do you think? But the Bible said David was the son of an Ephratite of Bethlehem. Should have been Ephratah, but the scribes have put in Judah here, but we'll give them the fact that he was an Ephratite living in Bethlehem, Judea. Let's just say that that's correct there. But it don't say that he was a Judite living in Judah. It says it was an Ephratite. Well, I'm a Tennessean, and if I live in Texas, and I claim to be a Texan when I'm actually born in the state of Tennessee in 1937 on March the 4th, and my certificate says I'm a Tennessean by birth. So you got to go to the authentic, original birthright, and that's where we're going here. Jesse, David's father, was an Ephraimite. Now we're going to go into Jesse's progenitors. We're going to look at Jesse's daddy and the daddy of Jesse's daddy, and we're going to trace the lineage back through the book and to find out just exactly who Christ claimed himself to be and what bloodline he was from. Folks, if Christ was not from the authentic, authorized birthright tribe, then he had no right to claim heritage to be in the Messiah. And the Jews are correct, Christ ain't come. But if he did come, and he wasn't a Jew, and he was from the tribe of Joseph, then he's claimed the authentic, original birthright right out from under the nose of the devil, and most Christians have been deceived by the power and cunning crafted deceitfulness of the devil, and many people are on their way to the judgment seat thinking that they're doing right, claiming to do right, and saying, well, haven't we done many wonderful works in your name? And he's going to say, what? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I know I'm swimming against the stream. I know I'm going against the current. I know I'm not going to be popular. I know that I'm going to make enemies. Because, you see, when you come against people's religious belief, there's two things that you don't argue with people, and that's religion and politics. I don't argue. I just give them the facts of the scriptures, and if they want it, fine. If they don't, let them go to hell. The Bible says that they will oppose themselves, and that you are to save their soul, hating even the garments spotted by flesh, if you can. But after the first and second admonishing, if they won't have the scriptures, shake the dust off your feet and let the word that you testify at the word of reality. See, we're going to have the books open us when we get to judgment. If you're afraid to open them down here, you better open up to 1 Samuel 17, 12 and read for the fact that Jesse was not a Judite. He was. If you look up that Strong's number there, that word in the original Hebrew, Ephratite, is Strong's number 669, 670, 71, and 72. Base scripture. In the book of Strong, a descendant of Joseph. I thought David was a Jew from a descendant of Judah. No, sorry. Close but no cigar. You see why? David, if he's going to be the progenitor of a bloodline of Christ, he would have to be in the bloodline of the authentic, original birthright of those that possessed it. And that would have been the house of Joseph. Yes, Christ indeed was a Ephraimite. He spent his last days of his life in the city of Ephraim. He didn't go back to Bethlehem, Judea. He wasn't born there. He went right back to the city he was born in. He went back to right where they paid their taxes, 7 miles from Nazareth over to Bethel. Bethel is a different geographical location, ladies and gentlemen, which is Bethlehem. Lutz, I've been proving that to you in geographic. If you want to get into miles and knowledge and stuff like that, then we'll just put out the maps and we'll just take a look and see where Bethel is as compared to where Bethlehem, Judah is now. There was no Bethlehem when there was a Bethel. Bethel came first. Bethlehem and Bethel, Ephratah, came first. The other didn't come till later. Now, we done proved to you there was another Bethlehem up in the territory of Zebulun. So now we're talking about three. One Bethlehem Ephratah, one Bethlehem Judea, and one Bethlehem in Zebulun. Which one did Christ come from? That's your problem. You must figure it out yourself. And you say, why is it important? It matter where it come from. It matters all the world to you. If your soul is on the line, you better make your election and calling sure and be sure that your sins find you out. All right, well, then it's time for me to give you my address if you'd like to call me. Remember, I'm preaching to 1%. I'm losing 99% of you because I tell you the truth. That grieves my soul. I'm not proud of it. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just sorry to give you up in that 99% category. But straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. I'll just have to say that. Wide is the gate, broad is the way, and many there be that go on. See, it's the same right way, as opposed to the right way. See, the right way is straight and narrow, and it's against the grain. Satan has laid out a way, broad way, many go down. It's the easy way. It's nothing to be a Christian today. Quote John 3:16, and you're home free. When John 3:16 wasn't even in the oldest originals that's looked into, and all the major texts, John 3:16 is an addition. God so loved the world that he gave his own. He didn't love the world, and he told you not to love it. So you better take a refresher course in reality. Now, if you're that 1%, you've got a sincere heart, and you want to know the rest of the truth, you can call Pastor Buddy tonight. My telephone number, if you'd like to talk to me personally, I'm live. This is the 11th. Well, this is the 10th day. Tomorrow will be the 11th. We're already in the 11th. Because when the sun went down, we start another day, and it's the 11th in actuality, but it's the September the 10th on the Gregorian calendar. So we're live. Call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423. See, I'm not hiding behind no mask. I'm not the lone stranger here. I'm doing everything I'm preaching openly, and I'm coming on strong, and I'm wondering where all the other prophets is at. I wonder why they're closed mouth. I wonder why they run. Oh, you wouldn't listen if I told you the truth. I'll listen if you got any Bible. If you'll rightly divide and put it together and bring it on, let's bring it on. Let's see what let's look at the proponent's evidence. Area code 423-626-2172. I'll show you what kind of man I am. I'll bow to the truth. Nothing but the truth. So heaven and Yahweh. If you will, then I think that we could walk together. Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. And the truth has to come before I walk with anybody. I do well to walk with a few, as opposed to walking with the many. I don't want to walk with the many. I ain't in the many. I'm in the few. So I'm looking for 1%. Give me a call. Now, if you'd like to write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box, 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip, 37824. Now, if you would like to email me, just email buddy1@centurytale.net. That's buddy1@centurytale.net. Or you can call me, real simple. Can't afford to call? Call me, collect. I'll take the call. Area code 423-626-2172. Well, the old clock on the wall says that I got to get out of here. I'd like to thank you for listening tonight. May the Heavenly Father bless you wherever you may be listening to us along the line. We would like to thank you for listening in tonight to the Shepherd's Call. We'll be back tomorrow night with part 4, the final part of the Bloodline of David, as the bloodline of Christ. We'll show you that he was an Ephraimite, come right out of the house of Ephraim. We'll show that Ruth and her husband were the Ephraimites. They had bloodline affiliation to the house of Joseph. That qualified them to be in the authentic, original birthright tribe where Christ had to come from. Folks, Judah didn't have the birthright, so Christ didn't come from that tribe. You can get it off your mind and get into the truth, and that's what it takes. Well, we're going to get out of here with Dixie. May God bless you.
I'm sorry.